consistent.
What is that? Half of a kiwi?
What?
What is that?
It's an egg thing.
Is it too much food for you?
Sure. I can make you one.
What is it though? It's an egg thing.
It's an egg and spinach fucking.
Oh, I'll try one.
You want
I'll just take that one and you make yourself another one.
Bitch!
Here. That makes the most sense. Think about it.
No, it doesn't. You're just annoying. I feel like you're still in the sofa of my house.
Alright, let's. Yee! Alright, let's do it. Alright, again. Clap it in. Jump up and down. Clap. That was a good clap.
Huevo como un hombre, like a man. That was a man's clap. What?
2023. We're in right now. Give me what the heck. So 2023. That is how many years after 9/11? 12?
GED.
Yeah. 22. At 22.
22?
Right?
It's the 23rd annual you're seeing then?
Today's 22 because today's the 2023 and it happened 2001. So you got to subtract.
Computer, one. When was 9/11? How many years ago?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, 9/11
was in 2001.
Yo,
she, ago. We missed it. Get there. She said 20. And we muted her out with our stupid laughing. It was a long time ago, bro.
Hey, Siri. How long ago was 9/11? Let's see if she understands that.
It was one day and 6 hours ago.
I don't even know what she's talking about right now. All right.
She's saying yesterday 9/11 at the time.
Oh, is that what she meant? Wow, she's smart but also dumb.
That was...
Yeah. We gotta get serious. This is a serious topic.
All right, go ahead. Do you want to take a moment? We still don't even know the answer to the question.
What was the question?
How long ago was that
nigga,
shit?
It's math. 2001 take away 2023 is what? 22. So 22 years
it's
old.
It's gonna be 22?
On
Monday.
On September 11th, yeah, Monday.
Today.
Today. Monday, September 11th.
22.
Yo, you know what I forgot? Because the lights. I haven't seen the lights. When did they normally put those on?
That's a very good point.
Usually it's like a week before, isn't it?
It usually is a week before.
Yeah, because usually you notice it right away.
That's a week. Maybe it goes on tonight then.
Maybe there's a thing.
They added like 40 names to that shit.
Last year. This is so messed up. Last year at September 11th, we're like at work, like joking around. Not on September 11th, but whatever. And one of my friends, he's a Muslim, and we're talking, and we were talking about like what do we do on September 11th. And actually, September 11th was my grandfather's birthday, so every September 11th, it almost gets overshadowed by the Twin Towers. You know what I'm saying? So I asked one of my friends, I was like, "What do you guys do? You guys cut cakes or something? What do you guys do?"
Jesus Christ! Right, because it's a birthday thing, so you cut cakes for birthdays.
No, because he's Muslim.
Like, were you guys in Jersey?
You guys. Oh, yeah. Remember
were
that
you
story?
Guys in Jersey? Remember
yeah.
that shit?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy, yeah.
I remember the Pakistani and that community would hang American flags on their windows, on their doors.
That's like a black guy that puts the blue line on his car so he doesn't get pulled over by cops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just like
just
that.
Just protection.
Just protection.
Just pointing a condom.
Exactly. Just to let them know I'm on this side. Yeah. Viva America. That's a long.
All right. Started for the third time.
For the third time, it should be a charm.
September 11th, 2001. I'll start with my story, just so we can get the thing. I wasn't working. I was 18 years old.
18. Yeah. Oh my God. That alone.
Yeah. Was I working? I don't remember. I just remember my real father called me. He called my grandmother, but I picked up the phone. And because the phone was right next to me. And I picked it up and he was like, "Yo, They call me Nolito. Nolito, this plane crashed into the Twin Towers. I was like, what? Mind you, it was like freaking 7 in the morning or something like that when it happened, or 8 in the morning. And, you know, when at 18, you know, you're partying all night. So, you know, 8 in the morning, it's like freaking butt early. So I get up, I put the TV on, and I see the news that they're talking about, you know, plane. I'm like, what the heck? So I get up, I brush my teeth. And the whole time I'm on the phone, you remember the cordless phones? I was on one of those. This is before cell phones.
With the long antenna?
Yeah. And then while I'm talking to him, he lived in Sunset Park on 51st Street and 5th, between 5th and 4th. So, you know, there's like a hill that goes up. So he lives on the hill that goes, you know, that you can see the entirety of Manhattan.
Right, you get a nice view.
So he's like, I'm going to go to the roof. So he climbs up. I hear him climbing to the roof on the phone. So while he's doing that, I'm in the living room, and I put the TV on, the big TV in the living room, and I'm watching it. And he's talking to me. He's telling me that the smoke is, you know, is coming over here, and everything's dark now, and da-da-da. And then he's like, then I asked him, is this like a crazy person? Because in my head, I'm thinking it was a little, and I'm like, is the guy just suicidal? Did he make a mistake? Maybe he had a malfunction, and he didn't just crash into the building. Like, this is what we're thinking still. You know, and then as he's talking to him on the phone, he's like, no, it was, you know, it was a big airplane. It's the whole building. The building's like a block long. And I'm like, oh yeah, it is a big building. Yeah. And then he's like, it was an airplane like that one. And then he's saying like that one, but I'm on TV. I'm not on TV, but I'm watching TV. And then I see the airplane coming from the side of the freaking TV.
So you saw the second plane?
I saw the second plane. Yeah. And then I saw a crash. And as soon as I saw a crash, I knew right away, oh my God, this is a terrorist. There's no other explanation. You know what I'm saying? Two guys made a mistake. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Unless it was their autopilot's really bad and the whole freaking, you know, the whole industry is going to start crashing into the building right now. You know what I'm saying? Trying to land in LaGuardia or whatever. They, you know, but I'm like, oh my God, I got to be a terrorist. There's no, you know. And then, you know, your heart automatically drops. And you're like, oh, my God, it's going to be World War III. All the stuff starts going through your head. Oh, my God, we're going to go to war. This is the end of the, you know, this could be nuclear war. It's over.
You try calling, like, you could tell, like, my aunt was calling family members, like, but nobody could get through. All the lines were, like, dead. It was, like, went silent for a little minute where it was, like, you couldn't get a hold of nobody. You heard the,
oh, remember that? Yeah, the busy signal. And then,
yeah, bro.
Oh, my grandmother started freaking out, and I had to like get off the phone to deal with her. But then at that point, yes, I'm glued to the TV. I'm there. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm locked in. And again, at the time, there was no cell phones. Was it? Did we have a cell phone? I'm trying to think if I had a cell phone. But anyway, I'm watching TV. You're watching the whole thing, and then outside it gets dark. It starts getting darker, like it's gonna rain, you know, and. And then you start seeing the stuff falling from the sky. It's like gray snow. And paper. Remember? Mad paper was falling.
Bro, that it literally fell on the roof of the old crib.
Yeah.
Literally, and me and Danny were up on the roof. But go ahead.
And then my grandmother, she it starts coming in the window, like the gray powder or whatever. And she runs to the, you know, what runs. She's a grandmother. But she goes to the window. She's telling me to close the window because we're going to breathe in the dead bodies. I was like, oh my God, I got to close in the dead. But by that point, I was already watching TV for mad long. It's been, there's ashes all over the living room, behind the TV. It's all over. So I close it right away. It's funny because like a week later, the remote, remember the big bulgy TVs? The remote fell behind and slid and fell back. And I was like, crap, I got to get back there and get it. And there was freaking still dust behind the TV. I was like, oh no, we got to clean this. Dead bodies.
That got engraved in your mind then.
And then that's when I was dating my son's mother. She called me and said that she's leaving school because she was going to GED school. 22 years ago, she went to GED school. She still hasn't gotten her GED. So she failed. Anyway, so she's like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go home. You know, like I'm, you know, I'm on the train. She was in the train station. That's what it was. So I was like, I bet I'm going to meet you over there. So I got on my bike. I put a scarf on my face. I put gloves on because of the dead bodies. I don't want it in my body. And I rode my bike to her house through the freaking gray snow. And it was like an apocalypse, you know what I'm saying? Like post-apocalyptic. And that's it. And I spent the rest of the day with her there, just watching TV, and her brother came home. Yeah. But that's it.
That was your 9/11?
That was my 9/11. I got to watch the entire thing. The only thing I didn't see was the first airplane hit. My father called me instantly when it happened, I guess. Because I guess he wanted to call my grandmother.
For the first plane?
Yeah.
I wasn't even awake for the first plane. And in fact, I don't even think I was awake for the second.
I got to feel the with everybody else in the world.
Because my dad was watching the news, regular, doing his thing. And I feel like he didn't wake us up until it was like, oh, it's the second plane.
Well, think about it. Would you wake up your son? Like, oh my God, you got to see this? Or would you be like, wait, let him...
Well, my dad is old school. So the first one, he must have been like, yeah, oh, wow. Then when the second, he would have been like, hold on. Let me wake these niggas up.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
And I was fighting with Danny at the time. I don't even... God knows what we were fighting about.
You guys are still fighting.
Still fighting. To be continued. The never-ending story. But we weren't fighting that day. That day the fight was over.
That day he was like, pause.
Yeah, I was gonna say suspend. Timeout is perfect. So it's crazy because my dad had the TV right next to the window, and that window, which used to be my window, clearly see right out the, you don't have to stick your head out, it's in your way.
Yeah,
like the scenery in the window is the Twin Towers. So it was like you watch the TV and then you look like this shit is absolutely happening right now. So me and Danny were like, yo, let's you got weed? Yeah, let's go upstairs, let's go to the roof. And my dad was already sick of us with the whole weed smoking shit. And we go to the roof, we roll up and we're smoking and we're just looking at this shit, just talking about like, yo, what does this mean? Going through all the scenarios, like, oh, the country, we're under attack, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, the papers would burn. I remember Danny catching one and like half of the paper was burnt off. And you couldn't even really make out what the fuck the words were because it was dirty. And it's funny that you mentioned dust because I don't remember dust, but there must have been.
Yeah, it was like snowing outside.
Yeah, I remember the, but like when you're saying it collected on the furniture in the crib.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, damn, do I remember dust? Then again, it was me, my two younger brothers, and my dad, four guys. We probably, it was just adding to the dust that was already there. You know what I mean? Dusty, yeah. It was already a layer of dust in that shit. So, but I can only remember that aspect. And then I remember going outside and noticing how quiet the air was and like how somber, the right word, the atmosphere, like the neighborhood, the people, the vibe felt. And it was just felt like that for like a whole two, I feel like it felt like that for like 2 days, where it was just like this numbness, like nobody knows what to do.
Everybody was like mad chill, just quietly.
And for some reason I associate that particular part, going outside and the vibe, and like, oh shit, there's no planes. Hanging out with my cousins. Crazy, yeah. No planes. And I remember hanging out with the cousins and whatever. Like, we were all in groups. Just like, whatever. Everybody was just chilling together. But for some reason, I tie that memory with the memory of the blackout. The vibe of the togetherness and the chill. Sort of like infused together with the whole 9/11 thing. What's crazy about the 9/11 thing is I was watching the news and they were like that they're adding 4 more names as victims.
Oh yeah,
because people
found them, or they just died eventually.
If they found them, that's,
they were hiding.
They reconstructed a whole other building with schematics.
That's true, yeah.
Like, if they found them now...
The custodian found something.
Giuliani should not get as much credit as he did.
Wow, what a fall from grace, that guy.
What a fall from... But that's yeah, motherfuckers. Yeah. Anyways, so... But... shit, I forgot my train of thought. So, I associate those two events, for some reason, like, it gets mumble jumble in my mind as far as that's concerned.
Like the feeling,
like the vibe, you got off of what had happened. And I remember thinking to myself, it was the first time I said to myself,
well, now let's see how dark we were.
Oh, we're it looks disgusting.
Yeah.
We look like we're pretending to be a race, like black man.
I wish your brightness up, my gosh. We're like in the shadows right now. It's like Batman barely showing his face.
It is the basement, puñeta. No, so yeah, I remember that being the vibe, and I also remember feeling like American.
Yeah.
I remember feeling like, oh shit.
It's
like,
funny how the entire country felt like we were all one entity. Like we all recognize, oh snap, we're all here.
Oh, this
regardless of where you're from, what language you speak, we're here. And this is, you know, we're this group, you know? And racism was gone.
Classism. Yeah, like if you would have asked me that at that moment, would you go fight for your country? I'd be like, give me a gun.
Give me a gun, yeah. I'm ready to go.
Give me a gun right now.
Let's get on that plane. Let's go.
That's the vibe that one got from that scenario. It was like, if you told me, I don't even know how old I was. If you were 18, I was 20.
Yeah.
I would have been like, yeah, let's go. We out. I'm going to kill these
guys. Let's go fight. Yeah, we got them.
Show me where they are.
Are you kidding me? Look what they did.
That was a vibe. And it's weird to associate that with the blackout, but that unity, that like, oh, we're all in this together kind of situation. But with the 9/11 thing, like, who would have known that afterwards there would be so many people dying, which is why they added 40 names to the list of
40. They said 4. That's crazy.
40.
Wow. Yeah.
40.
That must be from the lung cancer and stuff.
The lung cancer, but particularly with those who worked. No, those who, like, my dad died, and he was one of those who you see the commercials of, you know, if you were 9/11 and worked there after the 9/11 and you're entitled to this money for compensation. So I wonder if the names comes from those individuals, or are those 40 names the actual individuals who
I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, it helped you out a little bit. The actual individuals who helped or worked in the building that particular day, right? So I don't know if those names are the firemen, the rescue workers, or the people who actually worked that day that died from complications later on, or if that's just everyone in that bubble that were working even afterwards.
I think it's cleanup
or people, right, that made it out of the building, but they died, but they were working there that day. I don't know how they calculated those 40 people, but that's a wild number for 22 years later.
Yeah.
To be still adding names to that,
it's crazy to think about. If you think about, like, it was one moment, like 1 second, that everybody felt the same feeling at the same time, or like a huge portion of the population of the world, even, because not just America. Because if people was in another country and they were watching it, they probably would have felt the same thing. When that second plane hit, everybody said, you know what I'm saying? That whatever that feeling was, like shock. Everybody felt shock at the same time. Like, you know what I'm saying? The whole world in one time.
Instantly, we were all relating to this one singular event.
Just like, oh, wow.
And let's be honest. There were some people who were happy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that was a...
That's the thing. You can't deny it. There's no, I'm sure people that were over there that planned it were happy, you know? At minimum. Yeah. Oh, we did it! Yeah, you know that was quite the plan.
Right, it was somebody's victory.
And if you think about it, it's such a simple plan, But you know, nobody thought it was possible. I don't know if you remember, we used to go to right up to the gate, right up to the door when you're about to walk on the plane, and you're like, "Oh, bye!" You say bye to your family members right there.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
I remember because when we were kids, we went to Puerto Rico like every summer. So my uncle would drop us off at the airport. And he would help us with the bags up to the gate, up to you got to give your ticket.
Like boarding.
Yep, boarding. And they would drop the bags there. Okay, bye, Nolito. Bye, okay.
Yeah, have a safe flight. Love you.
Just get on the plane right there. Yep.
Now you're like at the minute you get out of the car, get the fuck.
Yeah. Don't come in the building with your underwears on. You got to make sure they're good. You good? All right, put them on. You could get in the plane. And then it's like one person ruins it for everybody. Now you got to take your shoes off because one guy decided to put a bomb in his shoe or something like that.
Which makes you think, well, right, the bomb part. But these people for 9/11 used the fear of takeover.
So they use like little box cutter knives.
Bro.
But you know what it is, though? Think about it. Back in those days, there was no such thing as terrorists crashing planes. There were a lot of people that were hijacking planes for political reasons. Remember? I don't know if you remember, Cubans used to hijack planes all the time to come to America.
Really?
Yeah. They would hijack the planes until you landed in America, and then they would try to come out. Because once you touch the ground, you're a citizen. Remember, they have like a rule with Cuba? So they would hijack planes. So a lot of, people that worked in the industry probably thought, oh, just let them hijack it. They'll bring us to wherever, and then we'll land, and then, they'll get arrested. You know, it's not a big deal.
Right.
You know? Nobody ever hijacked a plane and then crashed it, you know? Or better said, nobody hijacked a plane and then tried to fly it. They always left the pilot. Okay, bring me to this place, and the pilot would drive there, you know? Nobody ever flew it, you know what I'm saying?
Right. The goal was to land it to get money.
Yeah, to get money or get asylum or something, you know what I'm saying?
Not to use it as a weapon itself. Yeah.
Which again, wow. Such a simple plan.
It's wild. That's exactly how it went down.
They freaking pulled it off. You know? Now, if you want a flight and somebody pulled out a knife and said, I'm going to hijack this plane or whatever, people would fight back. You know what I'm saying? Now, there's not one person on the plane that's like, nah.
People are fighting now for no apparent motive.
Yeah.
Just walling.
That's why the terrorists won't do it now.
You saw the guy that took a shit?
He did? On the plane?
Yo, diarrhea the whole aisle. They had to turn the plane around.
I seen that. Yeah, yeah.
That's so good, right?
Maybe he was a terrorist.
It's just wild. So I feel like that was also the first time that I became an adult.
That's when you were awake? You were woken up? Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, yeah, I live in a country that's being attacked right now. And that shit ain't cool. And yeah, I hope they do something about this shit.
Yeah, word.
Because this is pretty scary stuff.
Do you remember the one Bush went down there?
Where down there?
To 9/11, to the Ground Zero.
Oh, I do.
It was like a day or two later or something like that. And he was like saying a speech. He had
the bomber jacket on.
He was making a speech, and some guy in the background, you could hear him go, "We don't hear you," or something like that. And he goes, "Well, I hear you." And then he goes, "We all hear you." So impromptu, like you just made it up. And he goes, "The people who did this are going to hear from all of us." Everybody's nipples went. Such a good speech.
What a and perfect, like.
It's funny because you think back in Bush's, term. And the stuff that, people made fun of him because of the way he spoke, whatever. It's such a nothing compared to the stuff that goes on now in politics. You know what I mean? Like, they barely spoke about him, it felt like. It was just a joke. Now everybody loves Bush. He has paint. He's a painter now. Michelle Obama is their best friends. You ever seen that?
They go to games. They go to games together. Yeah,
it's such a nothing.
Yo, that's...
'Cause I'm proud to be an American.
No, but you're right, dude. I'm trying to fix it. It's crazy because, there was a time where people would make fun of Bush, and because of the way he spoke, like he seemed like a little late with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just a little like, oh, give him some time. He'll let it out. And what's
like, trick me once, shame on you. Trick me twice, that you either forgot what it, you forgot
the saying.
Never,
you forgot.
You never the, trick me again. I was like, all right, Bush, thank you.
I'll say it was next.
Wow, that's crazy to think about.
But when you think about Biden now and the way he communicates, you're like, yo, get this nigga.
I'd rather have Bush.
Home health aid.
Yeah, I'd rather have Bush out there.
Word.
You saw the one where he walked away. He was giving like a veteran an award or something, and then he just walked away. And everybody's looking around like, "Where is he going?" He just literally just walked away. Everybody's like, "What's going on? Where are you going?" He forgot what he was doing.
That's so crazy, yeah, bro. When and again, I now that you mentioned Bush during the 9/11, it was like you kind of forgave his little speech impediment situation. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like, that's our president.
That's
bro.
Our president. Yeah,
fuck out of here.
When he walks in, you got to do this. Was it this?
Not that one.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. One. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were gonna do the Hitler one. I was like, no, don't swing that arm. That's not the one.
And remember Giuliani, America's mayor. Everybody loved Giuliani.
Oh my gosh. Exactly. Exactly. Because think about, I mean, when you think about how many mayors there are in this country.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, and then you think about it, you're like, yo, real talk.
He had
talk,
the potential to do so much.
Real talk, like this dude, god damn, you look like shit. This dude, this is the guy. This is another one. This is your local guy.
Yeah, this is the guy.
This is our president who's going to kick some butt. And but this is our home guy. This is our guy. He's in New York City.
He might
guy.
Be the next. He might be the next president.
He might be the next president. Real talk.
Y después se cagó encima.
And then he had lip liner going down his forehead.
Yeah, Trump really ruined him. He backed up Trump, and that's it. Once you back up Trump, the whole world is like, all right, we got to find dirt on him.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a whole other.
That's another conversation.
That's a whole other conversation. But right, so we did a series once upon a time. And you could tag it when you do your publishing, where we interview different people.
Oh yeah.
About their experiences in 9/11. It's crazy to think that this story is at one point going to be like what you and I in our generation think of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
We know it happened, but it's not tangible. Or like
when Kennedy got killed. People are like, I remember I was this built that I was over here.
This is our first major like moment. And it'll turn into, you know, once we pass and whatnot, it'll be like, oh, that happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's in history books now.
Exactly. Have they made movies about it yet?
9/11?
No.
Yeah, mad movies.
They did, right?
They made a movie like 3 years later where they were buried in the rubble. Man, it wasn't about this, what happened, but there's a story of this older black woman. She has a bad leg. And she was like on the 70th floor. She couldn't get down. And she was wobbling down. And then, you know, the firefighters are going up while she's coming down. And then the first building fell, the South Tower fell. So the firefighters went to go see what the hell that noise was, because the whole building shook. And they looked, they're like, that building fell. If that one fell, this one could fall. Let's get out of here. So they start working their way downstairs, and they see this lady hobbling. So they help her. They carry her all the way down. And then she's like on the fourth floor. And she's telling the guys, my leg, I cannot. Leave me sitting here. You guys go, and I'll work my way down the next four floors. Thank you. And the firefighters are saying, they already know this building fell. They're like, we got to get out. It's like an emergency. Like, over their heart. Yeah. You know, something's telling you inside, we got to go. We got to go. We can't stop. So they told the lady, no, we can't. We got to go. So they start bringing her down. And then the building starts shaking. The whole building falls. Darkness, dust everywhere. They all come to, and they're still alive. But in the darkness. And they take out their flashlights. They're looking around. And they're in the staircase still. You know? And then they start yelling out to each other. They get a count. And it's like, I think it was ladder 6. Oh, yep, we'll fact check that later. But
maybe not.
It's just, I remember the whole thing. But the ladies in there with them, they're all in the staircase. Just them, her, and the firefighters. That's it. Everybody else got out. And they were there for like 4 hours trying to communicate. But if I remember correctly, the antenna on top of the Twin Towers, they used that. That was part of the emergency system to use their microphone, their radio. So when it fell, it was over. All they had was whoever was closest to you.
Yep, the range.
But because they're all talking to each other, it's just chatter. You can't really get through. So they were there for 4 hours trying to communicate, and finally somebody heard them. So he's like, where are you guys at? And they're like, we're in the North Tower in Stairwell B or something like that. And they're like, you cannot be in the North Tower. The North Tower's gone. It's been gone for 4 hours. What are you talking about? And they're like, no, we're still in the staircase, you know? So then eventually while they're in there, they see light shining, like sunlight. And they're like, through all the rubble, there's like one light that shines through the, you know, remember, it was all smoky for a long time.
They were buried.
Yeah, they were buried. So finally one of them is basically like, that's out. I'm going to try to get out. So he was able to finally climb out of the hole. He climbed through the freaking rubble, got out. And then that's when everybody found him. They took them all out. It was like 11 people that survived. The building fell on top of them and they survived. Because, you know, in my head, it's because of the lady. Because if they would have ran out, the building would have fallen on top of them. Right?
Oh, my God.
And if they were going, you know, if they were going a little bit too slow, they would have got caught. She, like, timed it perfectly with her back leg.
That's...
Yeah.
They were friends for a long time after that.
It's funny because you think about it, like, wow, God saved them. But not everybody else. Just these
just
guys.
Just them. That's not the way it works.
Just these guys.
It's not the way it works. Okay. When I hear people say shit like that, I can't do it.
I believe God saves people. There's no doubt about it. But this feels like us, we're special. F everybody else. These guys are the good guys. Yeah, God right. saved them only. Everybody else. They can fall out the window.
Yeah, I was arguing with not arguing, but there was an argument going on between two individuals just last night on the live, and this dude just was like, you know, throwing examples of like, you know, why would God like allow, you know, this to happen, but when it happens over here it's okay. And I'm just like,
yeah,
like you can't pick and choose what, you know, is bad for God to do or not to do.
Yeah.
And and this was my argument, and in the same breath, believe in free will.
Yeah,
you can't have it both ways, Papa. Yeah.
They gotta be free, baby.
If it's free, expect some shit to go down. Case in point, 9/11. I don't know. It's weird that you mentioned that the lights aren't up, because I feel like they would have been up for a week, or maybe we just didn't notice them.
Yeah, we're so busy. Oh, also, are we really outside at nighttime that much? I don't think so.
Are you?
I'm out in the mornings. I mean, I would see them in the mornings.
I would
see them. I would definitely see them. I just never noticed.
You know what? We're gonna look. We're gonna look today.
We're gonna look tonight. Yeah.
Definitely
on September 11th. Tonight.
Right.
Yo, you know what's crazy? I was watching a thing months ago, and the guy was explaining, because they remember how it felt, it was like they call it pancakes. And the guy was explaining the way the building was constructed was to have the maximum amount of office space. So the exterior of the building, the shell of the building, carried the most weight of the whole building. That's how they built it. And then the middle pillars hold, you know, the rest of the weight. And they have a huge expanse between the outside and the inside. Buildings aren't normally made like that. They usually have like pillars between. But they said because the building was so tall, they couldn't have that. It would just take up so much space.
Yeah.
So they had to design it a certain way.
Yeah.
So when the plane crashed into the building, it first of all hit the middle. And that's why the way the guy said it, that's why it didn't go straight through. Because at that speed, it would have went straight through. But because that middle section was very fortified to hold up the most weight, it basically hit that and stopped.
The middle part held the most weight.
Yeah. So because there was also because the...
Not the outside.
Well, the outside, both of them. They were like equal or whatever. But the plane had so much fuel in it because it took off from Boston. It was supposed to be in California.
Yeah.
But, it was fully loaded. But Boston's right next to New York. So it just turned around. So it was fully loaded. So when it crashed, a lot of the fluid blew up, but a lot of it just spilled inside the building.
Yeah.
And it went down the elevator shafts. Trickled its way down. So even though this one area got hit and had a big fire, a lot of fire started all random places within the building because it would leak out. And that's why the people on the first floor, when the plane hit, they heard and felt explosions on the first floor, because when it hit, the elevators snapped and fell. So imagine just falling from mad floor and just blew. Yeah.
Imagine being in that elevator.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Your back will be against the ceiling. Or you probably float like you're floating in space.
Until
you won't even notice that you died.
You'd fall.
You'd be floating. Oh my god!
On the 10th floor, you would have fell.
Oh, the 10th floor. Yeah. Oof. That's like the people that jumped off.
Yeah.
Either burn to death or jump off a building and let it end it quick.
Is it because you get older, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's shocking. Because you think about, you put yourself in each person's perspective. Imagine we're in a fire and there's no way out. You know fire department is not going to save you. You're just way too high. They're not going to make it to you.
Oh, when the people who were above the...
Yeah, above the fire or in the fire even. You know what I'm saying? They're just pressed against the window or whatever. And they're like, either I'm going to burn to death because it's guaranteed I'm going to die right now. So am I going to burn to death or am I going to end it in one shot jumping out? Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people chose to jump out, which I think, honestly, that might be the way to go. You don't want to burn to death. That feels like the worst way to go.
When I think about that scenario, when I think about that scenario, damn, I can't even see shit because the light is low. When I think about that scenario, I always think about like what would be my final thoughts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could sit here and come up with like four scenarios of what we would be thinking about, but at the end of the day, I'm like, there's no way I could even.
And when you jump, right? I don't know if you watched the video of them jumping. A lot of guys, a lot of people just like. Would you try to flip? Would you be like, just
jump? This is my chance. Can jump? I flip around?
Like, whoa! You might as well enjoy it. Try to do spins and stuff. You'll be on the news. You'll be 100% in history, Green. The flipping guy.
The fucked up shit you think about. I'm over here like, will I think about my kids? Will I think about life? My, you know what I mean? Things I could have done. I should have had sex with her. Like, whatever it was. This nigga's like, can I be an acrobat in fucking air?
Because there's people that dove. And they're like known in history, the jumping man or whatever. There's a picture of, I think it's a woman. Or, I don't remember. But they're facing down. And it almost looks like Superman. Like, one leg is kind of like bent. You know what I mean? And they're kind of just, it looks like they're flying down head first. You know, I wonder if that person was like, I'm going to, this is my last.
No, around. That person was probably think. No.
The person was like, oh my God.
I don't know. The only reason that I would want to do it, to go head first, is because I want to make sure.
Yeah.
It's so instant.
Yeah.
But at that height.
Yeah.
There's no way it couldn't be instant.
Yeah. The firefighters were trying to get in the building as they're. They got on the first floor and they were like trying to figure out who's going to go where, like what, you know, like a base, you know, like a small base. And as they're there talking, the you could hear the crash of the bodies hitting outside. It's like every like 2 seconds you hear one. Because people are deciding I'd rather jump. There's a story of a guy.
Not rather, some of them were burning.
Yeah. There's a story of a guy. He was like a chief or something of the fire department. He's the one that was in the first video. Remember, I don't know if you've ever seen it. They're like detecting for there was like a gas leak somewhere in Manhattan, and like a film crew was following them, a day in the life of firefighters or whatever. And then as they're detecting it,
he catches the first plane.
The first plane. That guy that was there, the firefighter detecting, he saw it, so he instantly got there first. So he was the highest rank there, so he was in charge. I think it was that guy. His brother became a firefighter like 5 years after him, so he was a higher rank than his brother. So he had to there and he had to tell people, okay, you guys got to go up on this floor, da da da. His brother was part of that group that came later on. So he was like, I got to send everybody up to save body, you know, people. So he sent his brother up to go save. He was like, that was the last time I saw my brother. I sent him up there. Because, you know, that's your job. We signed up for this.
We live so numb.
I know.
We live so numb.
And those people, you're like, not just my job. I signed up for this job because I want to save lives. Like that's why I find pride in
knowing full well that there might be that day.
Yeah,
where I'm.
There was a.
I gotta make a choice.
There's guys that when they went up, they shook each other's hands, because they knew in their head that this could be it. This could be it. So they would have given one last yo. It was good working with you. I forgot what the name of the guy. One guy survived. He's like, all those guys I shook hands with, none of them made it out. That's wild. You know, and we're over here working in offices and these guys are just heading into fires.
Heading into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, when you signed up for that job, that's the moment you were like, there's going to be a point where I'm going to make a decision.
Yeah. And I got to go for it. I got to
That's,
you don't want to be the firefighter.
There are reports that are due right now, and I'm not even like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
my priority is like, so low.
My priority is so low. Yeah, that's what I when people ask, and I usually make a joke of it. You know that I know I'm no good for any profession yeah. that involves life.
Motherfucker, as you try to kill something.
Again, emphasis on how useless I am in those scenarios. A cop, a nurse, a doctor. Oh Lord.
And it's funny because you tell yourself in your head, like, man, I hope I'm brave enough to, if the situation comes, and I'm like, okay, I'm the guy, I gotta help this person.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like
you wanna be that, like, oh man, I really hope I, this, but when is the it. Time comes, you might be like, I don't know,
I'm gonna die,
that building's burning, I'm not gonna go in, it's hot.
That's, you know? I keep going to back to the, that's the shit that I'm talking about. There's yeah. When you sign up for that job, instantly I would think there's gonna come a time where it's like this stranger danger could be yeah. us dying instead of just, you yeah. know what I mean? Like, this scenario might be the one where I die.
Yeah.
And do you balls out? Think about that. Yeah. Do you think all of them go for it and do the heroic thing? Or do you think one guy in the history of firemen were like,
no, I'm not going.
I'm not gonna go in there.
I mean,
the captain has to make that decision too.
That guy's probably still alive.
The captain.
Well, yeah, the captain has to send them up. Yeah.
The captain sends them up, or the captain says, "No, you can't go in. It's a lost cause."
Again, I don't.
Oh my God! While the people are screaming,
and you gotta send them up.
Oh no! You're the captain. You make the decision. No, we can't.
Oh, you got every. Oh yeah, you know what? So when the first building fell, one of the captains was saying, "He goes, I ordered everybody out the building. Like, whoever's dying." That's it. I'm sorry. We gotta get our guys out. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
if
about.
If you watch some of the 9/11 footage, you can hear like alarms going like all over the place. So apparently, I found out this after. Apparently, firefighters have this thing on them that if you pass out on a fire, it makes the alarm noise so that your fellow firefighters can find you fast in the fire. Yeah. So all those alarms you hear all over the place.
It's a little thing, and it also has like a flashlight, I think, yeah. or some shit.
So all those noises that you hear in the background all over the 9/11 videos, those are all dead firefighters.
Oh, my.
You just hear it all over the place. They're just dead.
That's crazy. Again, I couldn't do a job that serious, bro. Even as a lifeguard, I'm like,
bro, there's times that my mother-in-law has like a fire pit. And they make the fire, and I'm like, oh, it's too hot, I gotta back up. I can't even imagine going to a building. It must feel like radioactive. You know what I'm saying? It must be so hot. And if there's somebody screaming in there, help, help. And I'm just like,
hey, you got gear on. Oh, so imagine what they're fucking feeling.
I know. Jesus. I can't even imagine.
Oh my God.
Like I said, you wanna like, even right now, us as civilians, we wanna go in there and be like, all right, I'm gonna wanna help this person.
Have you ever, I told you the story of me going into a fire?
No.
Nigga. There was a building that was caught fire a block over from the crib. And
is it on 16th Street?
Yeah.
All right.
So block over, like right before the Spanish restaurant, but on the other side.
Oh, where the mute girl lived? You know about the mute girl?
No.
Oh, that's Danny's story. I can't say it.
Yeah.
Danny told me the funniest story. I'm not going to tell it here.
I believe it's a funny story, though. I do believe it. Oh, I do believe it. No, so there was a fire. It was, I don't know. Was it a cold day? I don't know why there was a fire, but we were hanging out, and we go outside. And we go outside and whatever, we see people in front of the building. It was like one of the middle buildings in that block.
Yeah.
So 6th Avenue from corner to corner on that side, it was one of the middle buildings, and people were screaming and you could see the smoke coming out of the glass. And I'm like, this is it.
This is my chance.
This is my moment. I'm going to be on the fucking news. That's what I thought. Rosanna Scott was going to interview me. Then I went. Me and Danny ran. Like, yeah. And I knew he thought the same thing, too. Like, I'm going to be more famous than you, nigga. I'm going to get more bodies than you. And we went in, and it's kind of like the same setup. Two apartments on each side. And when we go in, the smoke instantly was like, you take a whiff and you're like, oh no, 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 I can't survive in this.
We gotta get out.
So instinctively, I drop to the floor and I'm crawling. It's like our shirts, like this fucking studio. It's pitch black, the thickness of the smoke. So we're crawling in there and we see people coming out. People are still coming out. Like a mother came out, a dad came out with a kid. And there were other people already up the stairs, like on the second floor. We only made it to like the foyer, the beginning.
Yeah.
And people were yelling, did everybody get out? Did everybody get out? Yeah, yeah, everyone's out. We're good, we're good. I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't get to really save anyone. But I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here because this shit emergency. Is crazy. So I'm crawling off, maybe 10 feet I'm crawling. I'm in the middle of the building in the hallway. I'm crawling out and instinctively I think to myself, these buildings are mad close together. So when I got out, I was like, everybody get the fuck out of the other buildings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody out of the other buildings. So we started running, coming out. So while we're coming and running, getting other people out of the building, the fire people just got in. So no one's allowed in that building anymore. No one was trying to be in that building no more. So the firemen were already doing their stuff and we're coming out of the buildings on the sides, getting, you know, you making sure no one is there. So already the firemen are already doing their thing. One guy puts a ladder up and I remember coming out of the building next door and I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking wild. Everybody's out of this building, that's good. Oh, they're here, we're good, we're saved. And I remember going down the three little steps off their stool because each building had a stool, and the guy who put up the ladder, the glass got so much pressure because of the smoke, it exploded in front of him and he fell off the fucking, this is second floor. Fell off the ladder like he was doing a cartwheel, nigga. Like he was going like that and landed on his fucking head, bro.
The fire pan.
Bro, yo, he was hurt. Like he couldn't move.
Wow, that's such a job, bro.
I'm telling you, bro. Instinctively, while you were talking about the 9/11, it reminded me of that, and I remember thinking to myself, like, it clicked automatically, like the pressure of the glass from the smoke and the oxygen just blasted in his face, and it threw him off.
It's called backdraft.
Oh my gosh, bro! I'm like, I think backdraft is a little different.
I don't know.
It's backdraft is like where it's contained and then you open the door and that shit.
Oh yeah, probably, yeah. I don't know the terminology.
I'm trying to help you out. But yeah, what a job. And again, I love my NYPD. Again, people who are about the job and doing the right thing, right? We're not going to that conversation.
I wonder if because firemen, we grew up, because we see 9/11, we kind of feel like NYPD and police, the fire department should be respected.
Maybe our age has something to do with it.
Because I feel like
our age definitely has something.
These guys are definitely doing stuff you wouldn't do. When people disrespect them, I'm like, come on, bro. Yeah, I got pulled over yesterday.
Yeah. You be wilding the fuck.
I wasn't doing anything crazy because my windows are tinted.
Again, but you knew what to say this time.
I was like,
just call me when you get pulled over, puppy.
He was like, just be careful. I was like, okay.
That's it, daddy.
But I did all the things. I shut off the car. I lowered the windows. I put the keys on that. So they walked in. They were like, I was like, here you go.
That's it. Just do the little dance.
He's like, you work for the... I was like, eh. He's like, just be careful.
I had lost my wallet, so all my PBA cards are gone. And I had detective, FBI, you name it. I had the PBA cards. And so I lost all of them. But when I had it, that shit was beautiful. I remember I was hovering on the hub lane. And I forget, because you're nervous. You're like, I'm going to jail. What did I do? Why did I? I could have waited. Stupid job, right? All this shit going through your mind. But and I remember, I was like, stay right there. Comes back because his supervisor's also there with the white shirt, watching him. He already got somebody in front of me. So he was like, he had two pieces of paper, and he had the little clip with the IDs and shit. He was like, here. I gotta make it look like I gave you a ticket.
It's funny because it's...
Watch out next time.
It's a form of... not favoritism. What's the word I'm looking for? When they kind of look out for each other.
It's a form of... Well, go ahead. Finish that thought.
But the idea is that people say, you know, if a cop was to pull over another cop, they'd be like, oh, if he did something wrong, you gotta give him a ticket. And it's like, we should be looking out for each other. We're helping each other out. I would let him go with a warning. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I want them camaraderie.
That one.
But you want them to do that to you too. So I'm like, oh, I want them to do it to them, right, and to us and whoever else is, you know, in the group.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We all got to look out for each other, guys.
Yeah. Unless you're not in the group.
If a cop pulls over a firefighter and the firefighter was going, whatever, 50 and a 40 or whatever, 55.
Yeah, but do you think that, like, if the cop pulls like that, the cops that got pulled over for drinking?
Oh, that's different. I feel like that's dangerous.
Right, so yeah. There's a level
even if you have all the PBA cards, you drink driving. It's like,
what's the word?
Camaraderie.
There's that, but to an extent.
Yeah, there's some stupid stuff you guys do. Like,
like we're not going to let you go off of murder.
Yeah, no way.
You know what I mean? So, like, and there's, we could go.
I think drunk driving is a line. Like, you gotta.
That could be murder. That's a potential.
You
could totally
kill people. Yeah, we can't let you go.
Yeah, so it's.
Because not only that, we can't let you leave. So, there's got to be a reason why we can't let you leave. So, I have to give you a ticket. I have to go through the whole process. I can't let you drive like this, bro. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely that word.
9/11.
This goes right back to the fact that, we respect those. To answer your question, we respect those individuals. I think because we're a little bit older, number one. Yeah. And I think because we're a little bit older, we have enough experience to be like, this is a job I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, I see the firemen in the supermarket all the fucking time, and I'm like, these motherfuckers, they look like they're getting special treatment up in here. They're rolling in like a posse.
They should. I went. Sometimes when I go to use the bathroom,
they should go online first.
Yeah, let them in right away. Sorry.
Good.
They're next.
They
gotta go because the government is an emergency.
And that was ten minutes. And they're waiting for your ass because you don't want to let them skip.
Yeah, no way.
You selfish.
Yeah, sorry. Leave your stuff there, sir. You gotta get out the store. I'm sorry.
Unless the person is old, because you know they're gonna let that person first too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will let them go last. I'm like, you're gonna take a long time, buddy. They gotta go.
And this is why we cannot have serious jobs. Seriously.
So if I have to use the bathroom, I go into the firehouse, because in the winter we use the firehouse anyway. So they kind of know us. But their kitchen, bro, they got the best kitchens I've ever seen. It looks like a chef's kitchen. The way things set up. And they're all in there cooking, all of them.
Because if I'm wrong, they lived there for like 6 months, right?
Or three months? They lived there for like 2-3 days at a time. They rotate shifts. They only work like 2-3 days a week.
But it used to be like that, no?
I don't know. They only work like 2-3 days a week. They have mad time to themselves.
Chilling.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'd be looking at them like.
But those 2 or 3 days they work, it's on. Even when you're sleeping, you're working.
Oh, you're waiting for that bell.
Yeah, because the bell, you got to jump up and get ready to go.
When they say it's a 4 alarm, they mean there's 4 stations responding to this fire.
Is that what that means?
I don't fucking know.
I thought that meant like that. There's like tornadoes, level 5 tornado level. I thought it meant like levels of type of fire it is. If it's a 1 alarm, it's like a little kitchen fire. But a 4 alarm is like the building's not gonna go down.
What?
4 alarm fire? Yeah, that's what I think it is. Like levels.
Like the level of how severe the fire is.
Yeah, how severe the fire is, yeah.
And I think that it's.
4 alarm is like the highest, I think. That's September 11th for the 4 alarm fire.
Like if one family home, that's a 1 alarm. A little small one, little family home, 1 level, that's a 1 alarm fire.
I don't know.
But if it's a freaking high rise, they sent. It's like. They're assessing right now. It's a 7 alarm fire, like the one that was in Harlem. I don't know
how high it goes.
This is why we have a GED.
Because when 9/11, I mean, there's memorials in Staten Island. There's memorials in the Bronx.
How many alarms?
Every firehouse went to 9/11.
Yeah, what level would that be? If according to your logistics,
11, about 9 or 11 it has to be.
911.
Well, yeah, but bro. I was going to go through a timeline real quick, but I don't know if you want to do that.
A timeline of the events?
Of like what happened? All right. Real quick. We'll do it as fast as possible. So the flight left. There was a flight that left at...
All of them from JFK, right?
No, some of them from Newark. I think... And then one of them left from Boston. You know how far that is? How many hours of a drive?
Do you know how far that is, bitch?
That's what I'm saying. That means these guys... They're like, okay, I'm going to drive to Boston. It's going to take me 4 hours to get there. They're mad far from each other.
They're totally...
And all their flights went across the country. It was long haul flights.
Full of gas.
Yes, because they needed the gas.
Full of gasoline.
And
fuel.
So obviously the first one crashed, then the second one crashed, and then one crashed into the Pentagon. For some reason, the fourth plane, they didn't hijack it at the right time. I think they hijacked it like 45 minutes after the other ones hijacked. Their time was off.
Mm.
So either they made a mistake or something was going on in the plane. They were like, nah, yeah, you have to wait. But
maybe it was just the plane was a little bit delayed by 20 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah. But whatever happened, the people that were on the plane got wind of what happened on the Twin Towers. So they knew.
That's the one that in Pennsylvania.
So everybody knew what was going on.
Right. That they're saying that was shot down.
Maybe. That's a conspiracy. We're not doing conspiracies.
Yeah, we're not doing conspiracies. That's not.
We got to wait for Mike.
For real.
Yeah.
That's all by himself eating a sandwich of Arby's.
We have the meats. Because they knew what was going on, there's recorded phone calls of them calling their family, leaving messages.
That's funny.
Saying like, yep, we're being hijacked. I heard about what happened in New York.
No, it definitely.
So they must have been like, think about it. If it's, again, us in the fire, but this time we're in the fire. Because that's what they are. When they're in the plane, they're in the fire. They're like, we're going to die if we don't do something.
Die for? Besides your kids. Yeah, kids.
I don't know.
This is how much we talk to each other on this stupid show.
You're going to die, you got to fight. You're going to die anyway.
Right.
You might as well die fighting.
But besides yourself, if you're in danger, your kids.
Religion? Does that count? I don't know if that counts.
Would you die? Yeah, because they did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to let them out-religion me? No way. I'm crashing this plane for Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. No, bro. For your faith, would you?
I hope so. They said I light the fire. I hope when it comes, I'm like, oh my God, okay, I want to do this.
I couldn't.
I have to. Well, is that what God wants you to do? That reminds me of that live. Remember that live thing we
talked
about?
It's so outside of the... Remember how you were saying, like, I can't believe in aliens. It's just too much.
Yeah.
But somebody mailing a tea exploded. I could believe that. Chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? It's something like that for me.
Yeah, because remember when Bessel used to happen all the time? You have a hot cup, you put cola.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Things like that happen. You pour a hot thing into a cold cup, it'll pop.
All the time.
Yep.
Without fail. I believe science. But my thing is... I forgot what we were talking about.
There's a clip I just got like I think put it on yesterday where we're talking about them eating each other and the people that ate the other survived and you were like science. And I was like, yeah.
So that's such a good clip because it's so evil the way we laugh together, like we're just sticking it in there. Tell my you Christians. But
I don't know, man. In a life or death situation, you gotta calculate. Like, if let's imagine we were on the plane.
No, but as a for we're talking about reasons to kill yourself besides kill your yourself. Family, like to step into a situation where you know you're dying for this, or you might die. Exactly, yeah, yeah. Right? Because we're talking about the firefighters.
Well, think about you going into the building. You could have died.
Right. So all of that. Right. You're making that decision. What would we? Those firefighters, those NYPD, those individuals made a decision like,
I'm going to save lives.
I'm going to do this and this is my job and I could turn around and try to save myself, but I'm going to do this, right?
I'm going to go as far as I can go into this fire.
Like, fuck being a hero. I'm going into this knowing I'm going to die. So, the same thing for the hijackers. The hijackers went in there like, we're dying. And the motive behind it, think about how drastically different, but how committed, equally committed, you know, both would have to be to do it. And I asked the question, what would it take for you to pull that trigger for yourself? And I love Jesus, but I think because of what Jesus is to me, there's no reason for me to kill myself for Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not my path. And it's illogical according to the Jesusisms, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, they say that if you deny me, then I'll deny you.
Yeah,
that's right. The logic that they make.
Well, they
it's like,
did
I can't deny Jesus.
They did it for Allah because the world is sick.
Yeah, they have to kill infidels.
I don't know. I'm asking seriously. That's why they did it.
That's why they do it. And if they do it, if they kill infidels,
they get seven women, and then they go
72 virgins. They don't say if it's men or women, by the way.
That's true.
So that would they're gonna get that? They're like, what happened? Why are these guys here?
Timmy,
but like you guys all died virgins. So
there you go. There's a lot of you more guys. Male versions than female versions of this planet, and some of them might be your cousins. Yeah, think about what would it take for you as an individual to pull that trigger and then ask yourself, Would you do it? And it might be one of those scenarios where it's like, you know, you got to be in the moment to really know what your true response would be. But you know what's funny though? I can tell you right now, I'm not dying for religion. I'm not dying.
Well, the people that do say that they would die for religion, just know you would be a terrorist.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You would totally be a terrorist. Well, if it came down to it, if it was your religion.
Today? Absolutely.
Yeah, if they say, hey, I'll be willing to die for Jesus, you could be a terrorist.
Labeled as a terrorist.
You have it in you. To be a terrorist. If it was vice versa, like if you were Muslim, you'd be like, I'll be willing to die for Allah. Yeah, you would be a terrorist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now
you have it in your heart to do it.
Whereas back when it happened, 9/11, we thought all those niggas were terrorists.
Yeah, but I mean, it was after 9/11, if you're a Muslim, done. You're 100% terrorist. 100%. Before it was like, yeah, there are terrorists and they're Muslim terrorists. But it was also a different kind of terrorist.
And then it was like all terrorists are all
Muslims. Yeah. If you, bro, after 9/11, even the Sikhs were freaking beat up. The people that wore the hair tied up.
You ever fuck with those niggas?
They're cool. They're mad chill.
Word?
Yeah. I had a friend. I got a picture of him when I was in school. We were friends.
Bro, I met a couple and I was like, you guys are fucking.
Yeah, they're cool.
Awesome.
You know their religion.
Honestly, they give me alien vibes. The two niggas I met, they totally give me like, these niggas are not from this planet.
You know, part of the religion is that they have to carry a knife.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's like a ceremonial knife that they wear. It's like a
sash. I kind of feel like I did see
that. It knife. Doesn't have to be crazy sharp either. It just has to be.
But they conceal it.
Yeah, they have to hide it. Yeah,
they conceal
it's just
it.
Part of their religion. Yeah, it's almost like the Jews have to wear like a yarmulke. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah, the yarmulke.
So their thing is they have to wear a knife. Which is wild. Pretty cool, right? It's like Klingons.
That is like Klingons, like Klingons, actually. That is kind of dope. Or Puerto Rican, you know. You know Puerto Rican niggas. You know who you are. I ride into two today. I was like, knife is visible. And what was he doing? At the liquor store buying Lotto. Just like me.
Hey, what you bought? Mega?
I be buying,
Powerball? Did you buy the Powerball? 500 million. I just bought
right
one
now?
Yeah, I bought one today.
That's tomorrow, nigga.
I know, but
I'm going to get it, though. And I'm definitely disappearing. Yeah. Anyways, wait. So, when it comes to those scenarios, I definitely can only see myself doing it for loved ones, and I can't think of anything else because the very next thing would be Jesus, and it's illogical to do it for Jesus.
So it'd be life or death.
So it'll just be life or death ones. Or loved ones.
Very close to loved ones.
Like mad close. Would I die for you?
You should. That's what I'm saying. There's even family members that I love.
He said you should.
You should.
You said it with a quick like, please.
But think about it. There's family members that I'm close to that I'm like, sorry, bro. I don't know how you got yourself into this situation, but you're on your own.
This is true. And honestly, yeah, I think about.
Because you got to think about it. Like, I got to worry about my family.
If you're not family, you made the cut in my book, I consider you in higher regard.
But think about it. There's. Even in whatever, your cousin is dying and you gotta sacrifice your life and save us. You're like, but I have kids that they need me alive.
Yeah, I could name like 39 cousins and I don't even know their name.
Yeah, and you'd be like, oh, you're on your own, buddy. Sorry. Sorry, Pete.
But no. My media bubble family. Tio Toto. Tio Toto. What the fuck?
I have an uncle named Toto.
You have an uncle named Vagina.
Well, now they call him Toto. It's funny because I met somebody else and they were like, I have an uncle named Toto too. I was like, that's such a weird thing in Puerto Rico.
Is Toto closer to pussy or is Toto closer to vagina in the etiquette of things?
I think it's Toto's like a vagina.
Toto's, I don't think Toto's vagina.
No, because Krika's.
Oh, Krika's.
Krika's.
Krika's definitely pussy.
There's got to be a worse word than that.
Right? Because Krika's
the worst one.
It's
like cunt.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what that is. Wow, we went far. But back 9/11. To 9/11. No, but for real, I can't think of anything outside of. And if Jesus, if it's illogical for Jesus, and that's the next relevant thing, other than myself, my kid, a few niggas, I can't think of any reason why you would want to
sacrifice your life.
Your life.
But I mean, if you were on that plane. And because think about it, they told the people on the plane. Not only do they have knives, they already stabbed people.
Oh.
Because on the phone calls, they say it. We stabbed this guy, they stabbed a few guys.
And I'm sure they told them, we got a bomb.
And they told them, we have a bomb.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the narrative.
Either you're going to get stabbed to death, or you're going to get blown up.
No. Or you're just going through scenarios of what might have happened.
Yeah, like you're on the plane, everything's going around, and you're like, I'm gonna have to do this.
Some niggas just didn't do anything. Was like, you know what? Just listen. Hopefully, if I just listen, yeah. Just listen, I'll make it out of here. Because you're thinking about. But your
remember,
kids.
They already heard about what happened in Manhattan.
Oh, the niggas.
So they're like, we know we're gonna die. They're gonna crash into something. They've already did it. So we heard about that.
And because they caught communications off, maybe they were able to regain the plane. And somebody's like, fuck, I played enough video games. I know. Like, I feel like if I get in a plane, I don't know if I can land it, but I'm at least maintaining it. I know I could maintain. Can you? Do you think you could maintain flight?
I think, but I don't know if there's other buttons I don't know about. I think if I, you know, I know how to control it.
Yeah.
But is there any one of those buttons that you need to press before you have control?
So I feel like if you understand this control, you can maintain for enough time to figure out how. But again, the communications were cut off.
This is my head. I imagine they people fought back. Remember, there were so many more of them. There were only like 5 terrorists on the plane. So I think they overwhelmed all of them. Got into the cockpit and tried to grab the guy and get him off, but he was like, meow, like he didn't let go. And he's the one that crashed it, the pilot. I don't think a person got in it and crashed by accident. I think they were trying to get the terrorists away and he was probably fighting it. You know what I'm saying? Because it happened in Pennsylvania, which is right next to where the White House and the. Yeah, so they were already on their way down.
They were aiming for the White House, wasn't it?
Either the White House or the Capitol, nobody knows.
So.
So they were already on their way down towards it.
What most likely happened was the niggas hijacked the plane. They got to the. There must have been more than one. They got control of the plane. And once they locked that door, you're not getting in that cockpit. So they killed the pilots. And because they were bent on going, but they were behind schedule, the people in the cabin took over the cabin part. But they couldn't get access to the cockpit area because it's locked.
Yeah, but I don't know if how strong those doors are back then. Now you can't get in, but back then was it different?
Nah, nigga, those doors are.
Was it mostly just for privacy? You know what I mean?
Nah.
Was it a real flimsy?
Nah. I think they were solid.
Maybe. Remember back then, nobody thought about this before, so it was just like, oh, we just need privacy.
Yeah, but they were bomb threats, so I think they were, and I think at that point they already had pilots with guns.
No, I don't think they're allowed to have it. I think they have marshals, sky marshals.
Well, in my scenario, feel like they locked themselves in there, and because they weren't communicating or they cut communications, they were trying to make their target. The people in the cabin took over. I feel like that's obvious. They took over.
I think so. They would overwhelm them 100%.
They heard what was popping off. Exactly. So I think, and they were trying to get into that room, and it got to the point where we had to send military jets. Because they were already in the air. The airs were dominated by our military at that point.
Yeah.
It was boots on the ground, whatever the phrase is.
All hands on deck, baby.
All hands on deck. Like planes, missile silos were, the caps were open.
Yeah, ready
like,
to go.
Like it
yeah.
was like, what the fuck is going on?
I want to watch some of those. If you watch the people in government talking to the American public. And you listen to the things they say. Like Donald Rumsfeld, I don't know if you remember who he was. He helped run the military when Bush was in. And he was saying, I ordered all military to be in whatever.
High alert.
High alert 3, whatever.
Level 1, DEFCON 1.
DEFCON 3, I think it was. Like the so basically God. Saying, we're going to be ready to launch immediately.
And open the caps, get the fuel.
And then that's when they ordered all airplanes in the whole United States to land. If you didn't land, you're suspect. And that's probably what happened. They had the one that was flying. Think about it. A plane is driving towards the White House. It's not responding.
Russia must have called and been like, not us.
It's not us.
Not us.
Don't come over here. It's not us.
Instantly. Yeah. Even our friends must have been like, holy, our condolences. What do you need? Yeah. We'll be on standby. I wonder if they fucking grounded their planes too.
There was a country. There was a country, I think in Africa. Like a small tribe that send goats to the American government. Like 4 or 5 goats or something like that. Because they were like, you know, we want to help you. And there was just a tribe in the middle of Africa. And they were like,
think about that for a second.
I know.
Think about who we fucking
You know what it sounds like to me when they, when I hear that story? The lady that put the 10 cents into the, in the Bible, when she gave her, like, what, when she gave all her money that she had to the church, and the rich guy put like $1,000, and Jesus was like, she gave everything she got, you gave a, you gave nothing.
Chump change. Let me Chump see the rest of the other pocket.
So when they said they, we gave us, you know, goats to help America with the process, I mean, at least in America, I'm like, all right, hook them up.
Yeah. Oh, look how cute he is, guys.
I would have so kept empathetic. I would have kept those goats, and I would have put them on the White House lawn. Like, all right, let them eat the grass.
They're gonna survive.
Let the American people see what's going on here.
Like, this is America,
and we're gonna send them aid now. Send them all aid for the rest of their history.
Bro,
take care of them. Send them red bags of rice.
Yeah. The 9/11 thing is like, we started this series thing and asking people. We're gonna definitely, we should definitely keep that going.
Yeah.
And get people's story.
Yeah, we should definitely.
Fuck around, but yeah,
you know what's crazy, we're gonna get to the point, we're coming to the point where we're gonna ask somebody, where were you on 9/11? They're gonna be like, I wasn't even born yet.
Oh,
right.
Or
I was too little.
Imagine we run into somebody who's actually in the building.
Bro,
well, anyways, I mean, as far as 9/11 is concerned, 22 years later, I think it's 40, don't quote me on that, that they're adding this year to the list of people who died that day. And yeah, what an introduction to this idea, for me at least, of being an adult and an American.
Yeah,
like that being a tangible thing was instant at that very same moment.
Scary. What an introduction. It's like, you ever heard the joke Louis C.K.?
Which one?
He's like, he was little and his first memory was that he had to take a crap real bad and he couldn't hold it and he crapped himself. And he goes, that's when it came online. That's when it was like awake. Because before that point, he had no memories. And that was the point where I was like, oh, snap.
I just took a shit.
I just shit myself. I'm awake now. Now I'm a human.
Yeah. That's that was, exactly that was your what moment. That was my moment of like,
oh my God.
Oh.
Shit is real.
My God. I thought this was just in the history book, like in school.
Yeah. And ever since that point, we've been living through historical moments nonstop.
It needs to stop.
It needs to stop.
It needs to stop. And it's
or
just,
maybe not. You know, a lot of stuff to talk about.
Wow. For content. Yo, we out of here.
That's it.
Peace.
Yo, what up, everybody? If you like what you saw, please click on some of the video links on the side. And please support our channel by liking, subscribing, and leave a little comment. And maybe we'll respond back to you. And hopefully, you'll be a guest on our next episode. With family living in the lower deck, I won't say names, but I was lame and I was spewing disrespect. Turn to God to disaffect, that's worth to Trump. Now let's inspect to interject on what the young is spitting. I'm spitting for where the sacred texts are given.